Trying to. Good morning. My name is Cherie Cobb. It is my honor and privilege not only to be the pastor here at Mountain Vista United Methodist Church, but to be part of the joyful, wonderful bells. I did not grow up in the Methodist tradition or really the church tradition, and so for me, the bells are really a special and unique and amazing thing. And I really want to know, how much does that big bell weigh? 8 pounds. That's a good workout. It's nice to have you all here in worship this morning. It really feels like Christmas is in the air. Each week when we come and we gather, I always remind all of us at Mountain Vista United Methodist Church that we are a Christ-centered community, drawn together by the amazing and powerful Holy Spirit to experience and to express and to expand God's love through Jesus Christ. So let's just take a deep breath in and let's exhale out perhaps the busyness of getting the tables and the seats just right. And I'll open us up in prayer this morning. Holy One, we gather as your people, giving thanks that we can be together to hear your word, to offer our prayers, and to sing your praises. Draw us together in your love that we may know you more deeply. Open our hearts to a deeper understanding of your will, and work within our hearts and within our lives that we may produce the fruits of compassion and bear fruit for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
And you know, the Holy Spirit has to be in our heart when we read scriptures and when we listen to scriptures. Holy Spirit is sort of humble and quiet. So we have to invite the Holy Spirit. So what I want you to do as we go to do the scriptures this morning, we have two from the Old Testament and two from the New. What I want you to do is close your eyes. Keep your eyes closed while I read the Holy Scriptures. I'll first invite the Holy Spirit to join us. Come, Holy Spirit, into the hearts of all those that are here to worship God. Open our hearts, open our minds, guide us, help us to understand your word. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods, the peoples who surround you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. Word of God for the people of God. Amen. Oh, we have one more. Close your eyes. Two more. Okay. Do not worship any other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Thanks be to God for these words. Amen.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts that are gathered here this morning be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love this time of year. There's nothing like witnessing the look of pure joy on a child's face as he or she unwraps that gift on Christmas morning. as parents and grandparents, we stand by and we watch and we listen as the gasps and the giggles and sometimes the shrieks begin. And before you can even blink twice, the mountain of beautifully wrapped presents is reduced to a rubble of shredded paper and debris littering the floor. Do you have a picture of Garrett? This is my son, Garrett, and a couple of years ago, we were at a restaurant, and we gave him his first cell phone. And I didn't do the next slide, but he was so overwhelmed with joy as a teenager, he started to weep, and he took the napkin, and he put it in front of his face so he couldn't take any more pictures. But haven't we all seen maybe our own children with that joy that they just can't stand it, that anticipation? And before you know it, in a blink of an eye, all those beautifully wrapped presents are reduced to the rubble of shredded paper and debris on our carpet and on our floors. Let's face it, in our society, it seems like Christmas has largely become all about the gifts. I found this picture on the internet. I do not know if it's true. But although each of us in the house this morning, we all love the gift-giving traditions, and they are fun to celebrate with the ones that we love each year at Christmas. As the gifts pile up under the tree, however, I'm always convinced anew of the selfishness of our own human hearts. It is not that we are more selfish or greedy at this time of year. It is just, it seems that Christmas time seems to heighten all of those impulses that we have, and we give a lot more time and a lot more energy and a lot more effort. The lists are made and the money is spent. You know, the whole gift-giving process can be so consuming. I have to remind myself when I go into the store, Cherie, you're not here for you. Cherie, you're not here for you. Cherie, you're not here for you. And then when I leave the store and I was successfully buying things that were not for me, I'm like, Lord, thank you. Help me with the next store. Oh, the whole gift-giving process can be so consuming. Our greed is so overpowering. Our minds in such overdrive that many times we end up simply giving lip service to the thing that we really are supposed to be celebrating, the birth of Christ, our Savior. We celebrate Christmas by purchasing gifts for one another, but if it is Jesus' birthday, shouldn't we be giving him the gift? I wonder, does God get jealous? I wonder. So each week during this Advent series, our sermon series has been called Under Wraps, and we're reflecting how the character of God as communicated through the Old Testament is revealed completely and perfectly in the New Testament in Jesus Christ with his earthly ministry. We have four characteristics. The first week of Advent, we talked about God is expectant. You know, the people of God were waiting a very, very, very long time for the Messiah to show up. God's people expected this Messiah to be a lot of things, but they never, ever expected him to be God himself. Jesus was the gift that everyone needed, but nobody expected, and I think that is still true today, that Jesus is the gift that everyone needs, but not everyone expects it. God expects Christmas to change everything. God expects Christmas to change everything because Jesus is the gift that is freely given to all of us to say yes. And I do believe that God expects us to respond to this great gift of Jesus. I do believe that God expects us to share the story of Jesus, and we never get tired of telling it or hearing it. I do believe that God expects us to prepare our hearts and to be watchful and waiting, not only for the celebration of the birth of baby Jesus, but also watching and waiting for his return. And then last week we talked about God is dangerous. God is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the ruler of all. And time again, we find God calling his people into roles that they had not imagined, challenges that they resisted, dangerous territories that they had not anticipated. And I think of Abraham, I think of Moses, and I think of Jonah. I also think of Jesus. He had a dangerous mission to come and to save the world. I think of Mary and Joseph and how dangerous it was for them as an unwed couple that were pregnant. And I think of the disciples who said yes to follow Jesus and how they left their family and they left everything and put God first. God has been a mighty God. God calling his children to stretch beyond what they are capable of doing all on their own in order to restore this relationship back with God the Father through Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to realize that each of us is unique and God calls us each uniquely. And we need to realize that putting ourselves at the mercy of God's dangerous call is actually the safest place of all, since it puts us in the middle of his perfect will. In Scripture, when we study and read, God continually pushed those that he called into dangerous situations, but hear this, he always equipped them. He always protected them and was with them, even if things didn't go the way we wanted it to go. God was never not by our side. And then this week, this morning, we talk about something really exciting. God is jealous. What does that mean? What is that about? Larry's head just popped right up. The Hebrew word for jealousy is quinna. Let me hear you guys say it. Quinna. It actually means warmth or heat, and it is used to describe intense emotion and passion. And so when Scripture uses this word for God, it is describing how God is intensely passionate about his people, about you. You could say that God is on fire for you, that God is on fire for his people. And how God's love for us causes him to be jealous of anything that stands in between us and God. Does anything come to mind that stands between you and God? We could probably just sum it up with idols. Idols come in a lot of different forms. And as the Old Testament repeatedly illustrates and demonstrates, God's people often get their priorities out of order. And they are easily distracted by their own desires. Does that really sound any different than 2019? That the people of God get their priorities out of order and are so easily distracted by their own desires. In Exodus 32, God had rescued his people from slavery out of Egypt and set them on a path to freedom because he loved them so much and wanted a relationship with them. God's passion for their freedom caused him to be jealous of anything that stood in the way of that freedom. Folks, that is exactly how God feels about you. That is exactly how God feels about us. God is passionate about each and every single one of us. And when God's passion for us cannot be fully expressed because of idolatrous choices that we have made, well, in a word, he gets jealous. We have a God that literally fights for your heart. We have a God that literally fights for each and every single one of his children's hearts. Not just a piece, not just a corner, not just a compartment, but to bring light into all of those crevices within our heart. Just as little Miles shared, that is the best gift that we can give to God is our hearts. Because you know what? God knows. God knows that we are prone to wander. God knows that you are prone to wander. God knows that I am prone to wander. God knows. And the reason that God wants us to keep our eyes on him is because he knows that our idols can destroy us and keep us from experiencing the life-giving freedom that he specifically offers us through his one and only Son of Jesus. Jesus proclaimed in John's Gospel in chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus," he says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to its fullest, to have it abundantly." Folks, God, our Father, our Creator, is so eager for us to live in his fullness. And the only way that that will happen is if we put God and our relationship with him first in our hearts. Sometimes the true gift is right before us, and we get distracted with all those other things of our own hearts and desires. My family would. They'd give us the Sears and Roebuck book. Some of you guys don't even know what that catalog was. And we would take a magic marker, but we were only allowed so many circles. Our idols slip so easily into our lives without us even realizing it. Our idolatry has a way of distracting us from God's plan. And many, many, many times, if not all the time, can pull us off course. And this can happen in our families, and this can happen in our workplace, and this can happen in our neighborhoods, and this can happen even in the church. We call ourselves Christians, but it doesn't mean that we are perfect. It doesn't mean we come to worship because we have it all together. We are still human, including the pastor. We have a church council as part of our leadership team. And every year, I've only been here two, so last year and this year, we vote on where do we want the Christmas Eve offering to go. Because when I did go to church late in my 30s, the pastor always took the Christmas Eve offering and it never stayed inside the church building. Because I was taught it always went out to be the love of God for others into the world. And so our leadership team comes and we are voting. And so we chose a wonderful place for our Christmas Eve offering. It's in West Jordan. It's called South Valley Sanctuary or South Valley Services. There's more information out in the hallway. It's for helping folks that are part of domestic abuse and helping them to transition away from that and for healing. Many of the church folks who are part of this church, the last couple of weeks, we've given out a financial letter of some of our, you know, we don't hide things. We kind of talked about some of our financial struggles that we've been facing this last year. Historically, we've kind of struggled as we come into the end of the year, and then we kind of always make up for it at the end of the year. But somebody asked a question that was on every single one of our hearts. Somebody said, well, this year, because the church's finances are so bad, that we are in the hole, do you think we should just not give out the Christmas Eve offering? It is so easy for each and every single one of us. One person asked the question, but I would bet everybody thought the question inside, including myself. Folks, our idolatry also has a very distracting way to get us distracted away from God's plans and pulling us off course. Right before the people of Israel in the Old Testament are about to enter into the promised land, they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they can see it. They can probably smell it. And Moses, he has one more opportunity to talk to God's people because he wasn't going to go into the promised land, and he has one more opportunity, and pastors will always take one more opportunity to teach somebody something before they go. And Moses gives one more message. He gives his last minute instructions. He says this, do not worship any other gods. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. He's basically saying you're going into this foreign land with other things. Do not worship those other things. And remember your Lord God whose name is jealous. So jealous is God's name. Moses' warning to God's people reminds me of those last-minute warnings when our teenager has their 16-year-old and they can drive. And we always tell them, wear your seatbelt. Remember to do the speed limit. Remember to turn in all your homework. You work so hard. Turn it all in. And remember to be kind. Listen to your teachers. I mean, as a mother, I was always giving last-minute instructions to Garrett before he left that day. At a pivotal time in the life of Israel, Moses stands before God's people who are getting ready to go into the promised land, and he reminds them. Moses is reminding the people of God of their priorities and urging them to keep God first in their lives. Folks, God makes no apologies about wanting to have first place in our hearts and our lives, and he is jealous for our hearts. And his jealousy for our hearts is revealed in his sending Jesus to us. It is through Jesus Christ that we see how jealous God is for our relationship to be reconciled with him and how committed he was to getting us back. There is no better place does the gospel express this than the idea of John's gospel that you probably all have memorized in chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God didn't send another messenger. God didn't send another Moses. God didn't send another prophet. God didn't send another good teacher to show us how much he loved us. Instead, he sent his one and only son to come and live with us so that we could intimately know his heart and live in community with him. Jesus was the Word made flesh and came and dwelt in our neighborhood, dwelt and tabernacled with us. And it is through Jesus that we see how jealous God is for us. We see how much God wants to know us and how much he wants to be known by us in a relationship. Folks, when we know Jesus, when we trust Jesus, when we know Jesus and the love he has for us, it changes our life. It changes our marriages. It changes our singleness. It changes our families. It changes our school. It changes our churches. It changes the world. Advent, the season of Advent, serves as this great reminder for each and every single one of us how much God loves you. As we prepare to celebrate Jesus coming to earth, it is important for each of us to take a moment or two to examine our own hearts. Just as the Israelites were reminded of God's jealousy before he made the big move in their lives and they moved into the promised land, Advent can serve as a reminder for us that God is moving in our midst, that he wants to move in our family, that he wants to move in those relationships, that he wants to move in our hearts and within our lives. And God is jealous for first place in our hearts and in our lives. So what does this mean? This means that not only should we take intentional steps to draw near to Jesus every day through spiritual disciplines, it means that we are people of prayer. It means that we serve and love one another. It means that we are intentionally taking steps to grow in our faith and to mature, and that we realize it's not all about me. It's not all about you, but it's all about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so what it means for us is we ask ourselves the question, am I available for Jesus to work in me? Are you available for Jesus to work in you? And that one thing that you know you should stop doing, but you don't, are you willing for Jesus to work in that part of your heart? Or maybe it's something that you need to stop doing and do something different. Are you willing? Can you reflect on that? Are you willing to let God, Jesus, work in your heart? It's a dangerous question. It makes me think of the scripture when Jesus looked and said, "Do you want to be healed?" That is the same question for all of us. Are you available for Jesus to work in your heart? It is important for each of us to take time to look inside our hearts and ask ourselves, are we really willing to follow God wherever he leads? Are we really willing to drop our own plans to follow his? Jesus taught us that making God our first and only love would be essential to following him. We can't follow him unless God is first, or we can try on that surface level. When we place God first in our hearts, we make ourselves available for God to move in and through us. Ask yourself, how open is your heart to where the Holy Spirit is leading? How open are you to let Jesus work inside of you? To work inside of your family. As each of us takes the time to examine our own hearts, to repent of our own wandering ways, and as we do that, we begin to open ourselves to the plans that God has for us, he never, ever hesitates to really do great things through our willingness. Just to be willing. As a parent, doesn't it make your heart feel good when your daughter or your son's like, okay, I'll try. We're like grateful, and that's the way God is, through our willingness. For me, I have personally learned that when I put God's plans ahead of my own, even though sometimes I hold on tight, When we all say yes to God, He will move in amazing ways, and things will happen. One more question. Take a moment to think about your wish list for Christmas. Now, it's okay, I have a wish list also. We all have a wish list. And that list does reveal our priorities in many ways. Our relationship with God should be on that list. It should be our first priority. So looking honestly at what you wish for, let me ask you one more question. What would it mean for you to have kingdom-centered priorities? What does it look like for you to have kingdom-centered priorities? Not only for Christmas, but for the new year. The season of Advent is all about preparation, but not preparing our trees or our homes or our presents or our lists, but preparing our hearts, for God to do a great work there. It's a time to take a look into our hearts and ask, and be honest. What's number one for me in my heart? God's jealous for that spot. God wants to do amazing things through you, through your family, through your neighborhood, and through your churches. God wants that spot to be number one because He has the best for us. And even more than that, He wants us to know Him intimately and to be able to let go of our plans and freely experience and trust the glorious gift that He has given us through Jesus Christ. Folks, the best gift that we can give Jesus is ourselves. Our whole heart. This Christmas, will you put God first? This Christmas, will you open your heart and your life to His leading? So let's bow our heads. And I want you just to close your eyes if you're comfortable as we close in a prayer. But if you are comfortable, say these words in your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for fighting for our hearts. For my heart. God, I confess that I easily wander away from you, and I give my heart to many other things and other people. God, I confess that I often love myself more than I love you. Forgive me. Forgive me and draw me closer to you. God, help me to understand the power of your love for me. Help me to know that and teach me how to show your love to others. God, be first in my heart, Lord. And make me ready to receive all that you want to do in and through me. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.